Right.
Yeah, we're introducing Pam. Pam Christian has offered time management, communication, and personal organizational skills training and consulting for over 30 years. Through retreats, workshops, consultations, and classes, she's helped thousands of people find practical, creative strategies to make their lives effective and comfortable. She's taught at the New York Open Center, the Psychology Networker Annual Symposium, Roe Conference Center, and other venues. Pam gained national recognition by moderating National Take Back Your Time Day speakouts in Boston. The First Time Day event at Faneuil Hall was the largest in the country. Her work has been featured in Prevention Magazine, Men's Health, the Boston Sunday Globe, and various broadcast media. She is author of Awakening in Time, Practical Time Management for Those on a Spiritual Path, and The Spirit of Getting Organized, 12 Skills to Find Meaning and Power in Your Stuff. Pam's life informs her time management practice. As a pianist and music critic, she has an intimate, practical relationship with the intricacies of timing. She studied attention discipline with master tracker Paul Resendez. She successfully ran a performing arts organization on a half-time contract, working half-time hours. Among the organizations for which Pam has volunteered are the Emerald Necklace Conservancy, leading urban foraging events, Franklin Park Coalition, producing a major cleanup, Jamaica Plain Local First, board member, Temenos Retreat Center, council member, Boston Food Forest Coalition, and JP Porchfest, leading the Porchfest Chorale. She practices an eclectic spirituality drawing on text-based and earth-centered material and maintains an ongoing connection with the natural world. So let's welcome Pam. Welcome, Pam, to Women Explore. We're eager
Nina,
to hear from you.
I didn't realize you had the long form of the bio. I thought you just had the three sentence, three line thing. So it was wonderful to hear about me, boy. And
I
most of
don't
the
think you're a three-line woman. But anyway, your audio is distorted, Pam.
really?
Yeah, it's got a lot of static coming around it.
No kidding. Let me see what I can do about that. What I'm gonna do is maybe turn off my phone
Yeah,
because some
that's a very good idea.
better,
Yeah.
much better.
All kinds of mess with that. I've got a Bluetooth. How's it now, Lindsay? Is it any better? Is
It
it
is
any better?
better. It is, yeah, it's better. Yeah.
And what I would
Oh,
ask
no, it's
is,
not better. No, it's not better. Oh, dear. Maybe you
okay.
need to come in and go out again, go out and come in again, Pam.
Oh, I hope not. I hate to leave you. Okay.
I think turning down her the internal microphone might help a bit.
Yeah, no, it's a kind of static that's not from being too loud. It's like you speak and then there's a ksh that comes after it when you speak. Yeah.
Susan Nelson had an idea for mitigating this, and I want to fiddle with something or another here. Mute,
The
select
audio
about.
settings next to the microphone.
Excuse me?
If you click the up arrow next to the microphone,
Yes, I did.
and you go to audio settings
Yes, I have.
and look at the internal microphone settings.
It's high.
Yeah, pull them down somewhat.
Okay.
Or go to auto. I think there's an auto option.
Automatically adjust microphone volume. I'm doing that right now. I like automatic. Suppress background noise. Yes. Et cetera, et cetera. There's other things. I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
Are we good enough? Do we think we're good enough?
We good
It
now?
does seem to be working, yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you, Susan. Yay. Talk about distraction. this happens all the time. I mean, all the time, that you're sort of doing one thing and then something happens and then you go over there and you know, you could be there for hours. And then it's like, okay, where was I? And coming back is a big deal too. I'm going to put my view on speaker view. I don't know if anybody else has. I've got Susan is who I'm seeing rather than me. So please. Oh, well. Doesn't always work. Doesn't always work. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Or you can do gallery if that's easier. And then you'll see everybody.
Yeah, I think that may be easier this time because I've got these big people. Hey, there's the whole group. Yay, all 23 of us. Wonderful. Thank you. Yay, team. Okay. I really appreciated this topic. Man, ladies, you know, this is really something. Because we live in an atmosphere of distraction. And, you know, we also live in a commercial culture where what they're paying for, you know, when an entity makes an ad, it's not necessarily that they want you to give them money. It's that they want you to give them your attention. You know, so that our culture is just set up for distraction, set up like crazy. So
I didn't know how to text.
I'm hearing somebody else, but that's okay. So we're set up for this sort of slippery kind of attention that goes here, goes there, something comes in. You know, I say it's like a Springer Spaniel on the beach, you know, oh, look at that. Oh, what about that? You know, it's continual. So this is the atmosphere in which we operate. It's sort of default. So to get something else moving in there is a real trick. It's a real practice. And I call it's an attention practice. It's, you know, it could be your spiritual practice for the rest of your life. Dealing, you know, managing your distractions. And I just found my computer going, meep, 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 meep. I will continue. Okay, so, you know, there's the phone, there's the email, there's the surrounding culture. And what Dorianne had said, too, and was really brought out here, is that we also live in a culture of outward attention, outward. Don't pay attention to yourself. Bad dog, selfish. You know, think of everybody else. So this is another thing that we need to just really become aware of and then take it in hand a little bit and make a change if you so choose. And choose is one of the operative words here. Dorianne was talking about the difficulty with decisions. My guess is lots of people have difficulty with decisions. So here we are. We're in the midst of this highly distractible environment. And I want to take a little sidebar right now, which is the word attraction of distraction. You notice what the root is? Tract, like tractor, you know, pulling it along. What's pulling you along, drawing you. This is attraction. And by the way, I'll get into this in a minute. I'm sort of angry about using dis. You know, dis is negative. And distraction may not be negative. I'll get to that later. So there's the attraction. The traction part of it, the drawing, the pulling part of it. And I'm I'm a word person, and I looked this up in the OED, and I looked it up in my thesaurus and all of that kind of stuff. And I found that the opposite of traction is pulsion, pushing, not pulling, pushing. And there's the words that come from that are propulsion, also compulsion, also impulse. You know, some of these sound good, some of those not so good. Attraction sounds good, but maybe distraction not so much. So just to give you a little idea about that, when we get to the end, if there's any time, I'm going to show you this line drawing from Dr. Doolittle, which Hugh Loftus, I see Loftus there, but Hugh Loftus was a drawer, a artist as well as writing the Dr. Doolittle books. And he's got an animal, you know, he's an animal doctor. He's got an animal in one of his major books called The Push Me, Pull You. It's a two-headed beast. One of the heads is a gazelle. One of the heads is a unicorn. One of them speaks and one of them eats. And, you know, man, this is at the end, I'll show you I see there's some nods here. Some people know this wonderful, wonderful drawing, silly drawing. So, I would like to now talk about the positive side of, quote, distraction, because there's quite a bit of it. One thing is sometimes, and this happens to me all the time, sometimes a distraction is so welcome because say you're in the middle of doing something and it gets really knotty and sticky and like, I can't do anything about this. One of the best things for me to do is to go and do some housework. You know, get a cloth, start doing this, start doing that, dusting things. I always feel like dusting is sort of patting down my environment. Yeah. So this can be useful to step away from what you're doing. And the reason for it when you get down to it is not to get some dusting. Well, maybe it's to get some dusting done, but to get back into it. You know, you got out of it, you get back into it. I'm a real fan of that way of operating. I can be a very ADD-ish kind of person, sort of jumping around from here to there. I do not expect things to happen linearly, one thing after another. I tend to establish an arena where I'm operating. Say this morning, I'm going to do this. And I sort of, you know, shuttle between one thing and the other. I don't call this distraction because I've already set my arena. You know, I've got this big spot, big place. It's like a corral in which all of these things happen. And so it's not necessarily being distracted. It's just sort of attracted to a different part of what's in the arena. So what I'm giving you, by the way, sidebar, is little tips, little strategies, little techniques, things that you can do. And what I would encourage you to do, not all of these work for everybody. If you hear me say something, you go, ooh, that's a good idea. Write it down. Because talking about attraction and distraction is you need to be able to hold those things to which you are attracted. Because it's very easy to just go off like the Springer Spaniel. So this is this capturing or catching is a really good technique. And I'm going to get something which is one of my must-haves Post-its. I got them. I got post-its and colored pencils all over my apartment, you know, blanks, so that when I get an idea and I go, oh, right. Dorian said about the self, no self culture. And I write it down. And then what I do, folks, is I put it on the wall. There it is. It's on the wall. I don't know if you can't see that. Here is my post-it so that when I'm sitting here at my desk, I can go, oh, right. Not much training in self-care. Useful idea. And you know, the nice thing about post-its is you can put them all together. So there's not post-its all over the place. There's post-its in chunks. And I'm looking. It's funny because my clock. Oh, did I turn it off? I turned it off. Bummer. My clock on my computer says 12:16. Is that right? Oh, good. That's good. That means I have lots of time. And what we will do in this hour that we have together is that at the end, I'm going to take questions because, you know, I know you're good at that and you're good at a group process. So I'll do what actually is the presentation that I'm going to do. I really appreciate it, Dorian, that you had it written. I want to show you my presentation, not read you my presentation. I want to show you. This is it. This right here is it. This is how I write, is I put it up on the wall. And just so that you know, attraction, distraction, right there, big blue, right. And then it says over here, it's very slippery and we get stuck with the phone and the email and all that kind of stuff. We're immersed in this. And then I have something that goes over here, which I want to talk about just a little bit. This is about the synonyms. You know, here I am. I'm a thesaurus person. The synonyms of distraction. Get this. Bamboozled. Confused. Foggy. Head scratching. This is actually in the thesaurus. Right. Those are the synonyms for distraction. I beg to disagree here. I think there's something that's really important going on. We get distracted for many, many, many reasons. I mean, there is the email and the phone and the this and the that and the other thing. Other reasons for distraction is, as I mentioned before, when you're doing something that's too onerous or hard or oppressive for you to continue with right now. So you look around for a distraction. Anything, let me out of here, anything, you know. Nothing wrong with that if you can contain it. So I go and I dust. I say, okay, I'm going to dust for 5 minutes. I love my timer on my phone. It's so nice. I've got a automatic timer on here for 7 minutes. And I've got one for 20 minutes. These are my, when I'm away from what I'm supposed to do. So, okay. One of the reasons for distraction is that you don't want to do what's in front of you. I don't want to do this. That's it. Period. I don't want to. One of those things may be do your taxes. Yes, you don't want to. Yes. Understood. And, not but. And you just gotta. So you say, okay, how do I do this? I have people do like for 7 minutes, sort of get back down to zero, you know, calm, and then see what comes up. How to get back in. So, you know, a meditation. And I had somebody in one of my classes do the meditation. And when she came out, she said, I'm hiring somebody to do this. I am not doing it myself. You know, so she was able to go forward. She was able to make a decision to move. There had to be a protected time to do that, though. You know, a time without distractions, without all of that kind of stuff. And that's where my dear little timer comes in handy. It could be just a short little time to be able to clear it down. Okay, now I'm going to look at my next chunk, because that was, remember, it was the synonyms for distraction. And then there was the reasons for, you know, legitimate reasons for distractions. You're oppressed, essentially. You're oppressed by your to-do list. It's bearing down. You know, and so you escape into distraction. There's other things, though, that's really important to start to pay attention to. Is whatever it is you do habitually, it may be wise to do something else. Like, I had somebody I was working with who, she is habitually drawn, you know, attracted to political stuff. It's just default, plain old default. And the deal about this is that whenever you go to that default place again and again, you're wearing a groove in your behavior. And the more you do it, unconsciously, the deeper that groove goes. So what I would encourage you to do at least once a day, at least maybe once a week, start out once a week, is to do something different. When you find your attention going, there it goes over to that. Whoa, boy, political. No, that's a good thing. I'm going to do it. No. Come back. Go to center. And we should go to center right now, everybody. A good breath. I need it. And now for something completely different, right? So the deal is, do something else. And a lot of times when you come to that breath, and I would take maybe three or so, something will come, something else than the habitual will come. So do one of those, whatever it is. Because what you're doing then is you're starting to smooth out the groove. The smoother you can get that, the easier it is to step out of it. The easier it is to stand in your center and to be clearer about, okay, so what am I doing here? What am I really doing here? That, by the way, is a big question. It's one that Women Explore has been exploring for the whole time you've been around. So what am I doing here? Okay. All right. So I'm going to do a couple of things that are on my wonderful thing here, and then we'll open it up a little bit to questions, and then I'll do some more of me. And then with whatever time there is left, have a few more questions at the end. By the way, I'm going to stay afterwards. So, you know, if you have a question you want to get into, I'm here. I'll be here for you after 12 noon. Okay. One of the things that's on my, I have to show you this one too. Yes. You can't read it, but what it says is desire. That's what it says. Desire. What you want. What you go like, oh, yeah, I really want that. That's That's, you know, it's yearning, desire, wanting, choosing, all of that kind of stuff. That's worthy to be able to get a real handle on that. However, on the other side is sort of, I would say the whole universe, everything. You know, there's my desire. And then there's everything that's happening all around me that's huge, you know, complex, all of that kind of stuff. I have a metaphor for that I won't get into here. If there's time at the end, I'll say it later. But the deal is to get a balance. One of my big things is both and. It's not either or. It's not either that you give in to your desire all the time, or you feel obligated and you do what other people want you to do, or what, you know, your internal whatever is dictating that you do. It's not either or. It's both and. And the minute that you start to get a both and kind of feeling, you know, heart feeling, you get bigger. Because all of a sudden it's not this or that, this or that. It's this and that. This, by the way, is a metaphor for what we need right now, you know, in the world. Okay, so that's the deal. It's this both and kind of thing. It's sort of a tightrope walk that you're doing on this very, you know, thin kind of thing, so that you have a balance, so that you participate in the world as the world is, and at the same time you display your personal self, that wonderful Mary Oliver poem, what are you going to do with your one precious life, all that kind of stuff. So that's it. It's a bit of a both and kind of thing. I'm going to go and take a look at, to see what else I might be leaving out. Traction, step away, step in. Solid, get solid, back to center. You got to be solid and you got to be flexible. That's it. Okay, I got it. I did it. More or less, there's much more to be done. So, Mary Ann and anybody else who wants to ask a question at this point, you can put it in the chat. Mary Ann will wrangle the chat. She'll take a look. We've got 24 people, and I think I've got all of you on the screen.
What you can Pam, do. Normally we do questions by raising hands, and then I'll just call an order, and we, the chat is kind of confusing in some ways. So, is that all right with you?
Smart woman, nice format, like it, Linda. Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah. So we're doing a little bit of Q&A now, and there can be some later too. Is there someone who has a question?
Yeah. And by the way, we'll do Q&A for, you know, just so that, everybody knows it's 12:30 right now. We'll do Q&A for max 15 minutes, sort of 15 to almost 20, and then I'll close it all up. Okay.
Okay. I think Virginia has her hand up, and you are muted.
Can't unmute.
Yeah, she's working on it.
Oh, okay. She did it.
Yep.
Very good. Okay. I'm following along and comprehending everything you're saying. In fact, I live it. The thing that for me makes the difference is learning to love it. Is learning over the years to relish the opportunities. And that's what makes the difference. If I don't have an internal resistance or any kind of judgment placement on this stuff, then it won't work. That's it.
Thank
you, Virginia.
That actually is it, Virginia. That is it. We have been trained, you know, our culture and all this has said, no, don't do that, don't do that. And as you're going along, Virginia, you're seeing, yeah, this is what my life is like. And one of my things on my big paper over here is acceptance.
We do not teach that to our children.
Right.
And they don't relish the changes that come along. They want everything compartmentalized and scheduled and all of this. And children in the rest of the world are getting exposure that's just the opposite. So they learn to fly by the seat of their pants and actually love it and thrive in it, welcome it. Our children are not learning that.
It's such a shame, isn't it? It really is such a shame.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that I do in my work here in the city. I do urban foraging. I go and I see what's actually here and have some, you know, workshops up in Franklin Park and stuff like that. And I can tell you that just so that you have a little bit of hope, I mean, this is a difficult situation, that mostly more than half of the people that come on my walks are children.
Yeah.
So they're learning, learning how to respond in a different way. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck. Thank you, Virginia.
There's one thing to add is that my family always, we had a hard time, but my husband, may he rest in peace, was this man, we always described him as he flew by the seat of his pants.
Nice.
And we eulogized him that way and everything. And my kids now were both 50-ish. Are saying, thank God that we grew up in the chaos that we grew up in and learned to fend for ourselves in it. Learn to ride with it and make the best of it for ourselves. It was a certain kind of chaos, I have to say.
Yeah.
But we chaos, learned that.
Chaos, it encased in love.
Yes.
Encased in connection, family of blood connection. You know, so that's what it was in. That was the atmosphere in which it was. You know, love, you know, that you had for your pain in the neck brother or whatever. Can we move on, Virginia?
Yep.
Why don't we do one?
I'm gonna say something next that and Virginia, I just wanna say I hear you describing sort of a training for hardiness. As you're talking about it. So Pam, one of our things we're exploring is this relationship between friendship, distraction, and hardiness. And a theme that's come up so far in our series is, I have a friend, I want to spend time with my friend, I want to tend that relationship. Or I have some other things that I really believe in and I want to give that my time, my energy, but I keep getting distracted. So we understand that, yes, there are absolutely positive distractions, but there's some pain that we've talked about that has to do with, why don't I remember that if I turn on the TV and I'm not going to find this friend and then our friendship is going to become thinner, not as well fed, and then I don't have the benefit of the friendship. Or if I want to get hardier, take care of my heart and get more exercise or get hardier spiritually, that takes time and it doesn't take time doing distracting things. So how can I remember and how can I bring myself to that and away from distraction? So I don't know what you would speak to about that, but
I've got a lot
coming up a lot.
And as I always say, some of this works for you and some of this doesn't work for you. Everybody on this call, it works differently. So you gotta sort of find your own way with this. What you're talking about, Linda, is being master of your own universe. You know, being able to both be flexible and be firm. Firm and flexible. And I didn't say rigid, and I didn't say sloppy. Firm and flexible. I'm big on words and aphorisms and stuff. That's something that I would go for, because you know, one thing is, I'm on the last quarter of my life, that's for sure, and you realize there's an end. This is not going to go on forever, and I only have 25 years at most left. So how am I going to spend these 25 years? You know, where am I going to lend my energy and my attention and my body and my heart and my mind and all of this kind of stuff? It's certainly not easy. However, what I do a lot is, you know, you saw I write on the wall, and it's important for me to be able to see what I'm thinking rather than just hear what I'm thinking or whatever. So I would encourage you to get to know yourself, whatever that is, however that works. Get to know what you like to do and how you like to do it. And what we're talking about is being able to work with your patterns rather than against your patterns. You know, when so sad when you're a little kid, you gotta, oh man, most of us grew up that way. You know, I had to sit in a row in first grade. And I remember there was a kid back there, kitty corner back there, Marty Barsky. And he didn't know how to color in between the lines on the thing that we had to do. And I got up out of my seat and I went over and I showed Marty Barsky, this is where you put it. And the first grade teacher put me behind the piano.
Whoa.
Oh, right. Yeah. You're not in here anymore. You're disappeared. Thanks very much, Mrs. Sanders. Oh, well. So we got to get good at knowing who we are, knowing how we work, how we operate comfortably. More comfort you can get the older you get. More comfort. And then being able to take charge, being able to be firm. And my dear little phone is my firm thing. You know, that's the thing that says, okay, I'm going to work on my taxes for 20 minutes. That's it, period, 20 minutes. I am not going to get stuck there because I'm going to go see my friend in a half an hour. And so I'm going to go this far, no further. And there is my post-it. When I get to the end of this, and by the way, before we go and maybe afterwards, I've got a rooster alarm in here. It's pretty... And what I get when the rooster alarm goes off, I write down what's on my brain right then. Bingo. Where am I? And it's like, mileage for the car. So I write down mileage for the car and I put it on my, you know, the papers that are spread out all over. All of the things that are up on the computer, I put all the things up on the computer down to the bottom sidebar. I take all of the papers that are laid out all over and I put them together and I put this on the top because this is what I'm going to do next time, which is mileage on the car. Wow. You know, do not say, no longer is it legitimate to say, oh, I'll remember that. Doesn't work. And works less and less and less as you age. So just for goodness sakes, write it down and stick it on your wall or do whatever you have to do to help you manage your attention so it doesn't go running off like the Springer Spaniel on the beach. Okay, we're going to have... Does that do it, Linda, for you?
Well, it does and it doesn't, Pam. You know, I still think there's this phenomenon that we keep hearing from people that they love a friend, they want to be close to the friend, but the distraction is either so immediate or so enticing, or and then they realize, oh, 2 hours later,
I called the friend.
No, but I mean, a TV show is an hour, or a podcast is that half hour. So there just is this tension about why am I, you know, and this is many people sharing, why am I not reaching out for the friend?
Okay, couple of things. Can I give you like five? I think I have five.
Go ahead.
All right, right. And I'm just sort of getting right in there, right? Regardless. Okay. So... number one, we're in this atmosphere of distraction. Easy, easy, easy peasy. Oh, before I even go there, what you need to do, what's the prime technique here? The fundamental technique is getting back to your center. Couple of breaths. Like right now. And what's coming up for me is that, yes, I would like to talk with my friend and get that relationship going. And there's at least 10 reasons why not. You know, I don't want to hear about how it is 6 months after a knee replacement. I don't want to hear it. You know, I feel so bad because the last time I called them was 2 weeks ago. I feel so bad. Bad dog, bad dog. Guilty, guilty. Perfect reason for distraction. Oh, it's much easier to watch a half hour TV program. Or, you know. And if you have your center, and you can say, okay, half hour TV program. Talking with my friend that I have some difficulties with. And I stand there and I go, And I start to make a choice. I mean, this is what we're talking about, Linda. We're talking about agency, having agency, having the togetherness enough, not a whole lot. You know, you don't have to be the Dalai Lama. You just have to be good enough to be able to make a choice. And then I tell you, the way that I work is that I always give myself an out, that if I do it, if I do the TV thing and it just feels bad and it isn't really worth it, I turn it off, or that I call my friend and I find that I'm just not able to be with her. I say, gee, Linda, I really love you. And you know that. However, right at this moment, I'm just getting real distracted. So I'll call you back. Can you call, or you call me back or something? There's a lot of communication that needs to happen that we're not so good at. Period. At all. And that will help grease the wheels. That will help make it possible to not just be caught back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Good enough, Linda, now?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, so let's, what do you think? I mean, what I almost said was let's do one more and then do a close down.
Sure, are there any other questions for Pam? Pauline, you sat forward. Do you have a question? You're muted.
I'm thinking of the fact that as a child, I used distraction to keep me away from painful situations.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And you know, now it's a habit, you know, and I need to change that, but I don't know how because I'm distracted.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, Pauline, one thing that in thinking about this topic, what was curious, because I have chronic pain, is that pain is a distraction as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's this distraction or that distraction. Which one do you want? Or which one can you take? Can you bear? You know, I think we all have pain of some sort or another, sooner or later and whatever. And to be able to, again, the breath of staying with you says, whoa, man, this really hurts. I must say I can't quite concentrate at this point. You know, whatever you're doing, if you're doing your taxes, you're talking to your friend. You know, there's Pauline, it's this acceptance kind of thing too. And the other thing that I was thinking of, what got me from what you said, was this thing of smoothing out the groove. You know, that when you're in pain, you automatically go to distraction. That's an automatic habitual response. Sort of. Do you think, Pauline?
I think it is. And, you know, it's automatic. And it's, you know, maybe 2 days later, I realize I've missed, you know, 2 days.
Yeah. And that's useful. 2 days later to realize you missed something because of that habitual thing. And Pauline, that's the kind of thing that you need to be able to bear. To be able to stand.
Okay, is it bearing the pain or bearing the distraction?
Bearing the fact that you did that.
Oh, no.
Bearing the fact that you responded to your habitual thing by going over to distraction. And you know, there's layers of this, Pauline, layers. I mean, one of the layers is when the pain comes, being able to bear it. Just like that. Okay, guys, why do I say that? I am so sorry. I tell you what I was going to say is, what do you guys say? We'll talk about this after at noon. What I would like to do right now is do a recap of the kinds of things that you heard about today. And I would encourage you that if you haven't written down a good idea or two, and by the way, maybe three, don't need a lot of good ideas. Okay, so the title of this, The Attraction of Distraction, just got me going like crazy. Because yes, we live in this highly distractible culture from all different quarters. And we distract ourselves because we're maybe uncomfortable for this reason or the other reason. And then we run off like the Springer Spaniel on the beach. And the thing is, often, sometimes, the thing that you're being distracted by might be the very best thing for you to do. Period. Oh, I'm being distracted by the color of that stone. And then you realize later, oh, I really like color. So there's a reason for a lot of these distractions. And the thing is to be able to make some kinds of choices, you know, make some kind of true to yourself, if at all possible, choices, so that you either stay or you go, you stop or you keep going, and you check in with yourself well enough to know that that's a reasonable choice. I always give myself outs you know, I don't have to do this forever. I don't have to do this for very long. If I'm even doing it for 10 minutes and it gets ridiculous after three, I'm out of here. You know, to give myself flexibility and a lot of leeway to see what's going on with myself on this, with myself. Boy. Virginia, do you have a question at all? If you do, you could unmute.
The love of speed. The love we have of speed and equating it with intelligence.
Dear me. Oh, ridiculous, right? Absolutely ridiculous.
The person who's on the ball is on fast. Many balls.
Yeah, yeah. This was like the West
and
Wing.
And you know what? Women don't have balls.
Yeah. Oh, good one, Virginia. Good one, Virginia. We love you. We love you. We love you. Yeah. There's a, I'm in a hurry to get things done. Well, I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die. And I'm in a hurry and I don't know why. Alabama. Yeah. Good. Good enough. Yeah, that's the name of the group. It's called Alabama. It's really good. And I would encourage you all, as long as I got you for the next couple of minutes, to get on my email list, my newsletter list. It's PamelaChristan.com is my website. So I'm getting ready to put out another newsletter real soon, and you can search the whole rest of it and you see what my style is. I just sort of give a good idea every now and then. If it appeals to you, you write it down, you give a shot, give it a try. That's sort of the way my website is, the newsletter thing. So feel free to do that if you would like. You know, I still, you know, this is still my practice, what I'm doing for a living. Good.
Christine, Green.
Christine, yeah.
Christine.
Yeah. In my life, the two things that have been the biggest distractions are having a baby.
Oh.
And grief.
Ugh.
Loss.
Both sides.
My life seems to fall apart with both of them. Or become more centered.
Right. The thing that I talked about, you know, the crack is where the light comes in and all of that kind of stuff that, you know, the Japanese, they have those broken pots with the gold on the edge, on the breaking spot. We're learning about this and we need to learn how to do it. You know, how to be it more than think about it. So, you know, our emotions are really good bellwethers. And it's a question of whether you want to keep going in that way or whether you need to stop or whatever. And I can't tell you that. However, I'm very much a fan of the couple of breaths and seeing what comes up. I get to choose too. If what comes up is not what I want to do, I don't do it. So, you know, it's sort of a funny way to go about things.
Barbara tweets me trying to ask questions for a while.
Yes. Christine.
Here I am. I'm not very clear, but here I am.
Okay.
Well, one aspect of distractions is having to decide when you're faced with 55 important news stories. Are you going to go and watch all of them, or are you going to decide on just a couple, or you're going to say, I'm not going to do it at all? And then I'm going to follow up with your comment about your emails, because I do get your emails and I enjoy them very, very much. They're very solid, and I always feel I have learned something from them. And one in particular that has stuck in my mind, I think this was in your email, was that you had moved from a larger apartment to a smaller apartment. That is something that I'm facing. My husband and I are on a third floor walk up, and in our 80s, he's 89, so we know we're going to have to move. And I can't bear to think about it. I can't decide where in the world we should move. I can't decide what we should take with us. And I'm wondering if you have anything you could share of how you made that terrible choice and how you worked through the decisions of what to take, what to throw out, and whether you've been happy with your choice. That's the other thing. Did you ever regret, I wish I had never made that decision?
Okay. Whoever is interested in this topic, do a twinkle. They're like, oh, yeah, I like that. I'd like some that. Right. Good. Okay, so I see there's plenty of people who do, and, it's a huge topic. The thing about decisions, the fundamental thing, like all the way down to the basaltic rock, is that you cannot do it all. This is the truth. This is the ground of it all, is that you are not going to do it all. Not going to do it all. Period. End of sentence. So de facto, you need to make a choice. And the question is, do you make it consciously or do you make it unconsciously? And to tell you the truth, both are good. Both work. An unconscious choice is, whoa, it just sort of feels like this is the thing that I'm going to do. I'm over there. Bye. Could be just fine. And the conscious decision to stay with this is another one, too. So, I'm not giving any definitive answers here, because I truly, truly believe there are no definitive answers, except the internal sense that you have of Barbara Sweet being Barbara Sweet. That's it. Pam Kristan being Pam Kristan. I have a friend that does consultations on finding your essence. Good one. It goes back and forth. So did that help, Barbara?
It did help, yes. I guess I'm curious how you weathered that yourself, but you may not feel you have time to talk about that.
I don't think so, my book, The Spirit of Getting Organized, just was remaindered. So it's going at a huge discount, which if you're on my newsletter list, you can go and buy. And it talks in detail about how to do that. And it's the kind of book, by the way, which I really like, which you can pick up and put down. If you can find it again, by the way, you pick it up, you open it up, you say, that's interesting. And then you can put it down. And the way that we're right at the time. I want to close down. I want to take 3 minutes right now to close down. Some of you have probably written something down. And that's your good idea for this hour. And let us hear from three people, and I'll call on you, and we'll see how much time we have left. I would like to hear from Barb Villandry. What's your good idea? One good idea, 25 words or less. That's it.
I've been waiting for an intervention, and you just gave it. So the playing solitaire is creating the pattern, and I'm going to figure out something else to do.
Goodie. Okay. We're doing three people. Susan Nelson. What's your good idea?
The good idea I got from you was to
use post-it notes.
And good enough.
Post-it note on top of where I finish.
Yes, that sounds good. Okay, and we are doing this just, you know, one thing and then the next thing. I see Christine Green, you're unmuted. What's your good idea?
Oh, dear, I didn't know I was still unmuted.
Tough.
When my sisters were still alive, I used to put off calling them because it was very painful and because they would bring up issues that I didn't like. My daughters would say to me, Mom, why do you even try? They're both crazy. In the end of it, I found that making the effort, making the call, made me feel so much better.
Okay.
And that I needed to do that more often.
Yeah. That good idea is a good one with the story. You know, sometimes what we need is not just, however, we have three good ideas for three different people here. And what I would encourage you to do is that with whatever good idea you've got written down, and I'm closing out this and we're going to do the big opening up in just a moment, but look at your good idea and say, okay, what one teeny, eeny, beady little step, and I'm talking teeny, can I take in the direction of that good idea? People do not give themselves, if you're muted, don't.
They're just finishing up.
I've got it now. Let's have it.
Susan, can you mute all of us? Or Mary
Ann? Okay. I'm telling something important. So just.
You're muted now, Pam.
Okay, this is what I'm leaving you with, is that a lot of times people say, well, I'm not doing it if I haven't done it, if I'm not finished with it, if I can't cross it off my list. Meh, bad dog. If this is your goal over there, and you're over here, and you take a teeny, teeny step in the direction of that goal, if you keep doing that, you're going to end up at the goal. You know, it's not like saying I'm not doing it. You are doing it. It's going to take some time. You know, it doesn't take a half an hour to learn how to play Beethoven's second piano concerto. It takes a lot of work, you know, so be very kind to yourself in that. And if you have a good idea, everybody's got a good idea, take a step. Okay. Linza.
Yes.
And Mary Ann and Paula, are you co-host? I don't know, but we're transitioning. Yes. We're out of the hour.